Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Why is it that some kids want to break out and experience what the world has to offer? Invariably, they end up in ruins and wish they had never left. Today, we take a look at one prodigal son who left and never returned. His name was Absalom. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer begins a brief series on two prodigal sons. Listen now as we first hear about a prodigal who didn't come home.
Something that should always fascinate us is human nature. I think I've been a student of human nature for many years, trying to understand why people do what they do. And what fascinates me is, first of all, on the one hand, the potential good that each person has, but also the potential for evil. Have you ever noticed that sometimes two children from the very same home, the same parents, one grows up and loves God and the other has nothing to do with God and goes a different direction? And you say to yourself, same parents, same home, why? It's the mystery of human nature, but it's also the mystery of God's providence. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. The providence of God in all this, it gets part of the answer to our question. And today I'm speaking on prodigals, just two messages. This is the first, and then there'll be a second. And the word prodigal has to do with wastefulness. We say about somebody, he got wasted. There's a good side to that word prodigal. It also can mean very extravagant and giving, but seldom do we use it that way. When we talk about the prodigal son in the 15th chapter of Luke, which is the basis for the second message in the series, it says that he wasted his life with riotous living, and that's where the word prodigal comes from, wastefulness of your life. And I'm intrigued by prodigals because, you know, we have been praying for prodigals here at the Moody Church. As a matter of fact, some time ago, I said that I wanted all the pops in prayer meeting, pops meaning parents of prodigals, and many of you came to prayer meeting, and we have prayer lists, and we're going to continue to pray for prodigals. And today I'm going to speak to you about a prodigal who didn't come home. We're going to look into his life, we're going to look into human nature, we're going to look into the Word, and we're going to leave here today utterly transformed by God. His name is Absalom. Absalom had many advantages, and some of those advantages were also disadvantages. Absalom was the king's son, King David's son. How would you like to have as your father the king of Israel and the man who wrote all the psalms about how his heart thirsted for God like a deer pants for water brooks and all of those wonderful things that have become a part of Scripture? How would you like to have him for a dad? Well, it wasn't exactly everything that you might think it might be. As a matter of fact, Absalom had to struggle with who he was, which is always true of children who have famous parents, and also the expectations. So that which was a positive was really a negative, too. The other thing about Absalom that he had going for him is that he was drop-dead good-looking, striking in his appearance. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 14 that Absalom was more handsome than any man in Israel. And when he cut his hair, which he did once a year, it weighed 200 shekels, which is approximately 5 pounds. He was drop-dead gorgeous. Was that a plus? Well, it seemed to be. Those of you who are striking in your appearance, those of you who are good-looking, you have many advantages that the rest of us do not have. However, in the end, it can turn out to be a terrible, terrible disadvantage. Today in our culture, to be handsome and to be strikingly beautiful means that you will be pursued by people. It means sexually the temptations are going to be greater and the tendency to coast through life is going to be there. I've often been at airports watching people walk by, and I think to myself of the wisdom of God of making most people strikingly ordinary. Absalom could never have done what he ended up doing if he had not been filled with charisma and charm and good looks. Well, those are the pluses and the minuses. Actually, there's a minus that I forgot to mention, and that is he had no emotional connection with his father. You see, in chapter 11 and 12, and you may take your Bible, if you would please, and turn to 2 Samuel, chapters 11 and 12 and following, and I'm going to walk you through a number of chapters. 2 Samuel, chapter 11 and chapter 12, David commits adultery and murder. And probably because of that, he had no control over his children, no emotional connection, no involvement. He was a totally passive father. We can understand why. He sees his sons rebel, he sees them kill one another, and the Bible says he became angry and didn't do anything. He was a terrible father. For example, Adonijah, one of his sons who tried to rebel, I'll mention him in a moment, and did rebel, the Bible says that even though he did evil, his father never crossed him or asked him, "What are you doing or why are you doing it?" Typical absentee father, probably because of his moral failure in adultery and murder. If he were to go to his kids and get involved, they'd say, "Well, Dad, who are you to talk?" So what do fathers like that do? They back out of the family and they just let all the dysfunction move ahead. So that was Absalom. Now, one of the things we discovered at prayer meeting as we were talking to prodigals, and the way in which it went was this: everyone who had a prodigal would come to the microphone or come to me, and they would tell us about their prodigal, and we'd get a little bit of background so that we could pray more intelligently. What we learned is that there are two different kinds of prodigals. There are those who are lured by the world. They come from good homes. That's the prodigal son that we'll talk about next time. Good home, but rejects it. And then there are prodigals who feel pushed out of the home because of the dysfunction. They simply can no longer stand what's happening within the home, and so they get out. And they say to themselves, "I hate my parents and I hate their God." And that's the kind of prodigal that Absalom was. But both kinds of prodigals, what they do is they kick over the traces. They go through the fences. They go on a wrong road and then they stay on that road because it's too difficult to return to the point of origin. They all do. What about Absalom? Absalom did two things. First of all, he had a revenge killing. A revenge killing. Now, you have to understand, chapter 13, verse 1, "Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar." Tamar and Absalom were full brother and sister. They were the only two of that particular wife. David had a number of wives, which really increased the dysfunction, I can assure you. So Absalom was beautiful, and so was his sister, the confluence of genes. Their mother was actually named Maacah, and when she and David came together, the confluence of genes produced beauty. But Amnon, who is another son of David, a half-brother to this young woman, Tamar, sexually assaults her in the worst possible way. I won't tell you the story. You can read it there. Now Absalom wants revenge to his half-brother for doing this to his full sister. They shared the same parents. And Absalom harbors this in his heart over a long period of time. And then what does he do? He says to his father, "I'm going to be meeting with the various brothers. I want all the brothers of the king. Let's have a party." And Amnon goes there after doing this despicable deed. And when he's there, Absalom says to his servants, "Kill him. I've given you permission to do that." And that's exactly what happens. Amnon is killed. By the way, what happened when there was incest in the home? You know, in chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 21, this is after that terrible incident, when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. Well, thank you, David. Would you do something? Would you get involved? Would you help Absalom work through his grief? Would you go visit Tamar and do something and try to bring about some kind of reconciliation after the mess? No, I'm just very angry. He will not act. What a bondage to families to have fathers who do not act. No emotional connection. Mike Singletary, who used to play for the Chicago Bears, visits prisons, and he keeps asking the question, how many of you had a good connection with your father? And he is still waiting for the first hand to be raised. Wow. So King David here gets angry, but he does nothing. Amnon is murdered. Absalom flees because, you see, once you do evil against someone else, you're not only disconnected from God, you have to be disconnected from others. And so Absalom flees into isolation, where he stays for 3 years. All right, that's the first thing. A revenge killing which deadened his conscience, you see. And now that he was on that path, he had to follow it wherever it would lead. Secondly, you have a revenge stealing. This passage is so remarkable. What insight this gives us about charmers. Charmers can sometimes be very nice people. They're the kind of men that all the women in the church wish they had married. And then you discover that there are charmers who are the real deal, but then there are also charmers who are abusers. And behind their charm, they use charm to kill. That's Absalom.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and this has been a difficult sermon for me to preach, but I need to tell people that in the brokenness of this world, there is still hope. But also, I need to emphasize that David was a passive father. Isn't it remarkable to think that here's a man of God who gave us the Psalms, who walked with the Lord, but he was paralyzed because of his own sin of adultery and murder? And so when he saw incest going on within his own family, he became angry, but he did nothing. I want to just unburden my heart for a moment regarding the fathers that are listening today. God wants you to be involved in your family. And if you have lost your moral authority like David did, it's important for you to apologize, to make things right, so that you can be in the home what you should be and what God is going to hold you responsible for. And so as we look at this series of messages, and by the way, the next message in the series is the prodigal who came home. Parents, if you have a prodigal child, if there's an Absalom in your life, would you be sure to call out to God for mercy, for strength, on behalf of that child, and do not give up. Because God desires that the prodigals come home, and when the prodigals come home and there's forgiveness and reconciliation, there is hope. The Prodigal Son series, The Prodigal Who Didn't Come Home. Connect with us, go to our website, moodymedia.org, and press on the connect button.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing his series on two prodigal sons. Next time on Running to Win, more on the sad life of Absalom, who never did come home. Both messages on the two prodigal sons can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.